Good morning, my name is Ariana and I'm an alcoholic. I don't like being up here. It's not my natural state. The back of the room is my natural state. I force myself to sit in the front. Let me start this because I like to ramble. So I get 15 minutes, so I'm going to be very brief. Thank you. I started drinking and using when I was 12 years old. By the time I was 15, I was in my first 12-step program. It was not AA. So there was no question whatsoever that I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. When I was 15, I stayed sober for a year, and I celebrated by getting loaded, because that's what you do when you're 15 and you just got your driver's license and you have a new car. You go out and get loaded after you don't get loaded for a year. And then I proceeded to get loaded for the next 11 years. I've now been sober longer than I used. I used for 15 years. The first convention I ever went to was when I was 15 years old, and it was in Dallas, and it was a 12-step convention, although it wasn't Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was an amazing experience, and I will never, ever forget it. The second convention I ever went to, I didn't plan on going to. I was in Laughlin, Nevada. It was the weekend of like April 7th, 1993, and I had been struggling with staying sober. I had gone through rehab. I had stayed sober and relapsed. I had got sober again and relapsed. I had got sober again and relapsed. And I had, I don't even remember, days, maybe, a week, I don't know. And I went to Laughlin with some friends, and I got loaded. So what I was doing, I went down. It was free alcohol. How can you say no? But at this point, you guys, I'm 27 years old. I know about AA. I know about sobriety. I know I got a problem. And I'm in so much pain. So much pain. The best summer of my life was the summer of 1978. I was 12, and I discovered alcohol and drugs. And I chased that. What I found that summer was I found friends, I found a place to fit in, I found a place to relax, and it all happened when I drank and did drugs. And I chased that feeling and that summer for the next 15 years. Because I was really, really terrified. Really terrified. I'm not that person anymore. I'm slightly terrified up here, but I mean, that person would have run out. I remember one time I was in school and my teacher called on me because she really liked the book report I did. I think it was like on Elvis Presley or something. And I remember being in the class and she's like, Ariane, will you read? And I was like, no! I mean, like terrified of you. I'm the kid that cut gym class because I was afraid. I was afraid I was going to be picked last. Terrified of you. And when I drank and when I used, I found other people that did the same thing. And we didn't talk about being terrified of each other. We just laughed with each other. And we partied and we did all those crazy things that we do. Except when school started back up, they went back to school and I was still chasing it. And so in early May of 1993, after trying to chase this for 15 years and going through what all of us went through, I just don't have the time to tell you about it, I found myself in Laughlin, Nevada. And this is how God works in my life. As there were some friends, we were going there to gamble. I was trying to stay sober. I hadn't. It had been a terrible night. I got up, had a mediocre day, and I don't remember how I found out, but there was a convention at the hotel next door. And I remember that night being in an incredible amount of pain because no matter what I did, I hurt. I tried to stay sober, I hurt. I got loaded, I hurt. I drank, I hurt. I talked to you, I hurt. I didn't talk to you, I hurt. I went to meetings, I hurt. I prayed, I hurt. No matter what I did, I hurt, and I couldn't freaking take it anymore. I wanted to die. I wanted to die. And I remember being in so much pain that night. I remember getting in the car and driving up to the Hoover Dam, and it was just me and the Hoover Dam and God. And I got out of the car and I said, God, I will do whatever you want. Whatever you want. But you have to take this pain away. I can't do this anymore. And I probably stayed up there maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes just talking to God and crying, but really having a moment of surrender, a moment of, I will do whatever it takes. And I drove back down and I parked and I went to this convention. And unbeknownst to me, it was the Saturday night meeting. And I remember just kind of trying to find my way around, and I ended up in this overflow room, sitting in the corner by myself with a cup of coffee, watching a television screen, because that was where the main speaker was being shown in the overflow room. I can't tell you his name. I can barely tell you what he looks like, but I can tell you what I heard. And he told me exactly what I needed to hear. And I paraphrase, because I was less than 24 hours sober, so this is what I heard on that day. I heard that if I change the way I think, I can change the way I feel. And that's all I wanted, was to change the way I felt. I couldn't take the pain anymore. And at that moment, that pain was you, right? It was this person or that thing or whatever it was, but it hurt too much. And I heard him say that, and I was like, okay, okay. And that was May 9th, 1993. And I'd love to tell you that, you know, I've stayed sober. Well, I have stayed sober ever since, but I'd love to tell you that, you know, and there's a happy ending. But the truth is that that's when life starts. That's when life begins. Sobriety is hard. It's challenging. Sometimes I hear speakers say things like, I hear speakers say all kinds of things. Sometimes I don't hear speakers fill in the gaps of how hard it is to stay sober in those first 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. You know, it's go to meetings, talk to your sponsor, fellowship. Yeah, but what do I do when I wake up in the morning and I really, really miss something that's not good for me? Whether it's a person or a drink or an action, like what do I do with these things? How do I figure out what's right and what's wrong? You know, and that was my struggle for a long time. And that was mostly around God. It was mostly around God. Wasn't raised religious. Not really sure where I got the concepts of God that I got when I came into the program. Didn't really have much faith. And I struggled a lot around God. I found myself at the AT Center. I got sober at the AT Center Monday night, Women's Stag. Awesome meeting. What I did was I got a group of friends. I didn't get a group of friends. God got me a group of friends. We were all newly sober together. It was wonderful. And how I felt in the summer of 78 was how I felt when I first got sober. I felt like I fit somewhere. I felt like I was okay. I didn't have to hide in the back of the room. And we were just a bunch of misfits. And I got a sponsor, and the group of us started going through the book. And this is something I had never done before. And we went through the book in our house. And when we got to that part in the book where it says either God is or God isn't, most of you know that spot, she went around the room and she got to me and she said, Arion, God is or God isn't? And I said, well, you know, Gail, this is what I think. And she let me go on, and she let me do that. And we had this whole debate in the room about my concept of God and whether or not God was or God wasn't. And we finished that book study, and we took a break. And we did another book study. And then we got to that part in the book where it says God is or God isn't. And Gail got to Arion and said, Arion, God is or God isn't. And I said, well, you know, Gail. And she said, no, Arion, not this time. God is or God isn't. And I'll never forget that moment, because it was that moment that I stopped arguing about it. And I just went, God is. And then she moved on to the next person. And that was the most loving thing. It was one of the most loving things a human being has ever done for me. She let me have it the first time, and she worked with me. And the second time she went, no, now you got to make a choice. And it was beautiful. I have a profound faith in something outside of me. sometimes people say, well, you know, if you think you're all that powerful, go raise the moon or drop the sun. I never had a desire to raise the moon or drop the sun. All I wanted to do was control everyone around me. I'm not interested in making waves in the ocean. I just want people to do what the hell I want them to do, and then I will be okay. I can't tell you that's not true today, but I can tell you that the degree to which I try to control and manage everything around me is much less than it was 21 years ago, that I am a much happier person than I was 21 years ago. It's taken a lot of work. And life goes on, guys. Whether or not we get loaded and we drink alcohol, life goes on. My mother, who I love and miss, and really miss, I didn't give you the background gore on my family. There's no time for that. But my mom was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and she got sober. And she died at 10 years sobriety when I was 2 years sober. And that was the hardest thing I have ever felt in my life. That pain doesn't even compare to the pain I felt on Hoover Dam in Laughlin, or that dam, whatever it's called. It doesn't compare. That was the hardest thing, and I went through that sober. I got sober in 93. In 94, my grandfather passed away. That was really rough. In 95, my mom passed away. That was devastating. There have been births in my family. There have been marriages in my family. There have been fights. I have a family, by the way. When I got sober, my family thought I was going to die. They were contemplating an intervention, and I was telling them to get the F out of my life. I have a beautiful life. I have started businesses, closed businesses, had relationships, ended relationships. I have a beautiful relationship now. But through it all, I haven't drank. I haven't drank and I haven't used. And the one reason I don't is because I truly believe that I have a beautiful life and that God keeps me sober. And that's the truth. Conventions. So that was my second convention, was the day I got sober. 3 weeks later, I walked into a West Hollywood meeting, and it was a dark little meeting at the old West Hollywood Drug and Alcohol Center on Santa Monica Boulevard, upstairs, for those that remember it, right? And I walked in with a friend of mine, the same friend, we were both trying to get sober, in Laughlin, and I heard some woman speak in the corner, and I couldn't even see her, but she was the one. And I followed her around for several years, and I followed her 3 weeks later to this convention, and that was my first AALA convention, and it was 1993, and I was 3 weeks sober, and I remember it was like 15,000 million of you. That's what it felt like. And I wanted to hide in the corner, and you know how hard it is to hide in the corner when you're a newcomer at an AA convention? You guys do. And it was the most awesome experience I had ever had. The most awesome experience. I hadn't met that group of friends that I got sober with yet. I had met a couple of people. And this woman took me to this convention. I remember standing in the back of the room, and it was really packed, and there was standing room only, and they were doing the countdown, and I raised my hand because I had less than 30 days. And I fell in love with this place, you guys. I really did. It became part of that foundation for me, just like going through the steps with my sponsor did. It became part of that foundation. And I've been coming here almost every single year since. There have been some gaps. I love this convention. I love being of service to this convention. I've been on the committee now for a few years. And that was a really big deal, because even when I was a teenager in this program, like in sobriety, I didn't want to participate. I'm really shy inside. I'm really, really shy. I can feel how red I am right now. I'm really shy inside. And a friend of mine said, just do publicity. You know, it'll be good for you. And I was like, but I can't. Yes, you can, Ariane, just do it. And so I raised my hand and I did it, you know, and then I did it again because it wasn't so bad. And then after that, I was like, well, I could kind of do something else and, you know, maybe I could do something different. And it just kind of keeps growing. And with every experience I have in this convention, or in my sobriety, I get a little more confident in myself. 5 years ago, I couldn't have stood up here in front of you. 20 minutes ago, I was questioning whether or not it was going to happen. But it's like every little experience I build on, you know? I don't have many big deals today, and the truth is because there really aren't any, guys. I'm gonna tell you a funny story. I'm going to wrap, because we're going to open this up for some sharing on gratitude. When I was in rehab, I had a major meltdown. I had a meltdown because there was a big deal going on. Someone had my TV. Now, I know it doesn't sound like much, but I had put this TV on my Sears card. I had no way to pay for this Sears card because I was in rehab. And the person that had my TV, damn it, I wanted it back. And I needed to leave rehab to go get my TV. I didn't. But you understand, that was truly a big deal to me at that moment. You know, and people had to walk me through staying there. And when I think I have a really big deal in my life, I go to big deals. I go to the TV and I laugh at myself. Or I go to when my mom was dying of cancer. And I really put it in perspective. I've been all over the place this morning. I thank you for that. Not trying to follow me, at least. Thank you for trying to follow me. I love this convention. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, this convention has kept me sober. I love that I get to come back every year and meet newcomers. Charlie, I expect to see you here next year. I do. Last year, I was talking to a newcomer. I don't see him in here. Is Jeremy in here? Last year, I was talking to Jeremy at the other place, and he was a newcomer, and we got to spend a little time together, and it was really nice. I was here on Friday, and I went over to get a cup of coffee, and I looked to my right, and it was Jeremy, and I said, hey, I remember you from last year, and he goes, yeah, I just celebrated a year. That's what this convention means to me. Thank you. Oh, sit down. We're going to open it up for sharing. What we ask is if you'd like to share, please come to the front and sit up here. That way we can keep it moving through. And try to keep your sharing to 3 to 5 minutes so we can get as many people as possible up here. Thanks, everybody. And I'm just going to keep it rolling. So I'm going to call on one person. I'm going to have the next person call on the next person and just keep it going like that. So David, come on up.
Hi, my name is David, and I'm an alcoholic. This convention for me has been amazing. This is the first year that I've been on the planning committee, and I just want to tell the whole committee, thank you so much for letting me be a part of it. It was an amazing experience. There was a lot of growth in it for myself. Aaron, you're sharing. I know it doesn't sound like it, but I actually am kind of shy in the sense that I feel very uncomfortable. When I stand up, I'm like, hey, there's a convention coming on, blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm talking, putting on this show, but inside, I feel everybody hates me because they don't want to hear what I'm saying. I have no one wants, like, I feel like me making that announcement is going to say, like, David's going, I'm not going to go. But that wasn't the case because there are people that are here, and I'm so grateful for that. You shared that you came to a convention, or when you came to the rooms, you saw someone and you follow them to that committee. When I first came to the rooms, Mikey was one of the people that I looked up to, and I still do to this day. If you can't see him, you can hear him. And every meeting I go to, I make sure if he's there, I'm doing what he's doing because he's an amazing example of this program. I was too scared to be on the planning committee last year, but my friend Adam wasn't. We came into this program together. We're about a month apart, 3 years sober, and he asked me to be his co-chair for, you know, different reasons. I wasn't able to be the co-chair the whole year through, but last year's the last business meeting, he's like, you should be on the planning committee. And if you guys know Adam, that's all he'll say, and you're like, maybe I should be on the planning committee. And it was the best experience that I've had in my sobriety. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for all that.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm a grateful alcoholic. Thank you, Ariane. That was great. This whole convention has been amazing. And ever since my first convention, which was the Big Apple Roundup, because I got sober in New York, conventions have been a huge part of my sobriety. And I want to echo something that John said on Saturday night, where he talked about the 10 to 15, like it was around the 10-year mark where like his spirituality just took a nosedive. And there was a sense of misery and, oh my God, how am I going to get through the day? And I think sometimes with, I don't want to bullshit newcomers in the sense of saying that once you get sober, life will never happen again. And I'm so grateful that Hot and Dry last year, there was a workshop for people between 10 to 15 years who were all going through the same thing. All the sobrieties are, you know, our happiness and serenity had all taken a nosedive. And so what I did as contrary action this year is I have a new sponsor, and he is relentless about gratitude. And gratitude, you know, I really get the sense now, it's not just like, oh, do some gratitude like castor oil. It's like, it's really a spiritual tool. And I'm really incredibly grateful because I feel like I've come through that period. And conventions, one convention to the next, they're like touchstones for me. Every year I can know I'm going to this convention, and I can measure my sobriety from one convention to the next. And I'm really so grateful. I can't wait for the 30th year convention. It's going to be amazing. And I'm just grateful to all of you and to anybody who did any volunteer part of it. I'm just really, really grateful. And so that if anybody does have a spiritual canyon from time to time, the program is still here and there's still tools. And my sponsor, Mark R, who's not here today, thank you.
Hi, my name is Joey. I'm an alcoholic. I want to thank everybody for being here and for putting on this convention. Charlie, in 2007, I was invited to this convention, and I was not sober. I have been here every year in some capacity since then. I have been to these conventions sober. I have been to these conventions loaded. Last year, I had 31 days when I did this convention, and on this day last year, I left, and I went, and I used. And it's just part of my story, but I keep coming back. Today, I have 10 and a half months. Yay! And it's not going to be part of my story that I go in and get loaded today. But I have to say to everyone here, I'm so grateful that you keep putting this on because of my experience, I've kept coming back. And I have the opportunity to have another day sober. And I don't know, you know, like, I don't know the key to sobriety. I just know that no matter what, I've never given up. And I'm really grateful that I can be a part of this. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is David Boyd. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm really grateful to have been here this year. I wanted to get up and share a very special AA moment. You know, one of the things I'd like to share is that I got sober 24 and a half years ago. So in my first year, I came to my first AALA convention, and I've been every year since. And I'd just like to ask, how many people in this meeting have been to 25 AALA conventions in a row? Or in 25 conventions. Fantastic. That's fantastic. I went outside during the business meeting to make a phone call to somebody that had reached out to me last night. And while I was on the phone, a young fellow came up to me asking me if I knew where there was an AA meeting. And we went into the hospitality room to try and find a meeting list so that he would have something for, you know, after this meeting. And we couldn't find a meeting book. But I said, you know what, why don't you just come and hang out in the next meeting? And after that meeting, we'll get you up to the AT Center where you can, I'm sure there's going to be meetings up here this afternoon. And I sent him off to Subway to go get something to eat. And he came back to go to this meeting. And that newcomer was Charlie, who just took the book. And, you know, you just never know when it's going to happen. You never know when it's going to happen. And he had no idea this was going on. He's staying in a hotel that's near here. And he was at his wit's end and got online and found out there was some AA thing going on here and came over to find out what he could. And, you know, one of the ways I look at it, I figure in the 25 years that I've been coming to this convention, that there have been over 25,000 people that have come to the convention. And I want to tell you, Charlie, that only 25 people have gotten the big book out of 25,000 people. So I hope you cherish that book, and I hope we see you in years to come, and I hope that this is the beginning of a sobriety for you that can stick. Thank you for letting me share.
Tony Alcoholic. Charlie, I was also the book taker 5 years ago for AALA. It took me 10 years to have 5 years. So this is about gratitude, and it was meant for me to be here yesterday and today because I heard the speaker talk about relapse and our speaker today about not giving up and coming back and relapse. And what I'm grateful for is that nowhere in AA they tell you that you have to get it the first time. They just tell you to keep coming back. And with that, for the newcomer and for those that are relapsing and don't get it and feel like you're never going to get it, just keep coming back. It's going to sink one day. I promise you. And life is not going to get easier. It may not even get better. But you're going to be present. Thank you.
My name is James, and I'm an alcoholic. So I'm not a public speaker, and I'm very shy. But what I'm not willing to do today is get up here and let my disease, you know, tell me who I am. What I am willing to do is get up here and say, you know, that I want to be involved, and I want to be a part of, and I want to get away from the 20 years that I've chased my addiction. If you notice, I'm limping, and I'm on crutches, and that's how hard I chased my addiction. That's how hard I wanted to drink and use. And now that I'm sober, this is how hard I'm willing to work to be sober. I don't like to speak in front of people. But, you know, if that's what I need to do to get up here and put it out there that I want to be a part of and that I love you guys, you know, then that's what I will do. And, you know, Joey, I have always, always thought that it was such a wonderful thing that there you were. Even when you weren't sober, you were there. You know, and you're my sponsee brother, and I love you. And I was like, wow, you know, I wish that I could do that, but I couldn't. You know, because when I'm in my addiction, I can't be found. I can't even find myself. So, and, you know, this weekend has been, you know, very wonderful for me that I was able to be here every single day and able to be a part of. And I hope the next year that I'm able to be a part of even more, and that, you know, I can be celebrating some time next year. But I'm happy that I have today, and I'm happy, you know, and let me thank all the people who have invested time in trying to help me to stay sober. I love you dearly. And it's really had an impact on me as to who I am today. And the McIntyre House and the guys in the McIntyre House, I love you guys. And Cry Help, I love you guys too. And, you know, God bless everybody. And thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Freddie. I'm an alcoholic. Hey. Oh, loud mic. Thank you, Ariane, for your share. I just realized we're the same age when you said 12 years, 1978. I did the math. Like, oh, yeah, I was too. And thank you, Digby and Todd, for definitely guiding this wonderful convention. I wanted to speak today because, you know, this is the first year out of, I mean, I've been around since 95. It was the first year that I actually took the time and showed up here every day and had the opportunity to be of service, volunteering and speaking on a panel yesterday. And I have to say, I don't know what I was thinking in not being a part of this for all these years. You know, I had the unique opportunity back. The first convention I came to was AALA 1995. And had the unique opportunity to DJ a disco dance in 95, and they asked me to come back in 96 and 97, but then spent a lot of years not coming. So I think it's important that I participate in my recovery and be a part of this. And, you know, I also love the fact that this is where people learn to have fun. So if you're new, if you have a day, 10 days, 20 days, and you're really new to this process, this is a wonderful, safe place for you to come and just really learn to have fun and be around loving people, you know? Because AA will always be the last house on the block, you see? Always. And we'll always be here. And just in closing, I want to say thank you to everybody who I have encountered in these last almost 20 years, because that's why I come, you see? You all get to be my family. And I get to know you on some level, unlike anything I've ever experienced in my life. So thank you.
I'm DJ. I'm an alcoholic. I'm so grateful to be here, to be back in California. I chased the gold-plated you-know-what across the United States. And anyway. When I forgot what the gentleman's name was that just shared about if you're in between 10 and 15 and you're having a hard time. I've been having a real hard time. And moving back and coming to this convention is a huge deal for me. And seeing people that I love, that I've known since 1989, and I haven't had 25 years consecutively, but every time I could get here, I would. And the dance and the show and the people that work so hard to do it, you know, is it's a huge deal for me as an alcoholic to know that I can have fun in sobriety. I moved to New York and I got the license plate that says not glum because I like to have fun, you know, and I learned how to do that here and at the AT Center dances that they made it mandatory in the Van Ness house for us to go to, which I thought sober and dance did not go together. And it does, and it's awesome. And sober sex is awesome, and all of that. But I couldn't imagine it because I judged it. But the thing is that God is bigger than my negative perception. God is bigger than all of this stuff. And if I can get around people and get around you, I can actually see it. I was in a... I'll try to hurry with this part. I was in a major car accident, and I had spine surgery. I'd never had surgery before, and I love to frolic. I love the word. I love to frolic. I love to play. And it's hindering that, and it's frustrating. And, you know, been praying a lot about it, and I come to the convention last night, and it was bitch slapped by the speaker from the podium. Spat! I didn't even know her. And I was like so emotional and such a raw nerve. I went running out of here crying. It was a lot. And that's happened to me a few times here. And what a safe place to be. You know, the sisters here for me, you know, that just scoop you up if you're willing to talk about it, you know. And sometimes it's hard. I'm so grateful for this convention. The whole time I was in New York, I'm like, you guys don't know conventions. ALA. I mean, they called me Eeyore, for fuck's sakes. So, got a new sponsor today, talked to the women last night, been praying about it, and just so grateful for AA and for AALA and all the people here that I've seen for years that are a comfort for me. So if you're new, please come back.
I love this convention. I came to this convention first in 1990, and I think I had less than 7 days of sobriety, and I was just a mess. And I've attended probably 19 of the last 24 of them. So, you know, if you guys are new, you know, it's a great place to be. One of the things that I love about this convention is the birthdays. And one of the reasons that I come is this last closing meeting in the birthday celebration. So happy birthday to everybody who has celebrated a birthday, you know, today. You know, I wasn't thrilled with the move down here. I ended up in Skid Row twice getting off the freeway. And what can I tell you? Then I figured out, you know, somebody said get off at 3rd, don't get off at 4th. And I was like, oh, follow direction. What can I tell you? So I think, you know, I'm going to be okay with the move. I don't like change. But, you know, I'm very grateful. I participated on a panel this year, and that was new for me. And, you know, I'm just very grateful. You know, I'm very grateful for, you know, for everything. You know, I'm very grateful. You know, if you're new to sobriety, if you're new to, you know, to the meetings, if you're new to the convention, just keep coming back. It's a great thing. Thanks.
My name is Dan. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very grateful to be sober. And in the summer of 1985, my sponsor requested that I go to Palm Springs for this AA convention. I didn't really know what it was all about. It was probably about 1,500 people. And when we did the Serenity Prayer at the end of the conference, it was a spiritual experience to hold all those hands and to hear that. It was completely silent, and then we did the Serenity Prayer. And what happened at that convention was I heard some people talking about there was going to be a group of people in L.A. that were going to start a convention. And so the next year, 1986, the first AALA happened at the Century Plaza Hotel. And I was, Jack R. was the chair, and Mary R., our famous Mary R., I don't want to say her middle name because you know what it is, were there. And I met a lot of people, and I've been to every single AALA since 1986. And so this is the 29th year, not the 24th, David, 29. Next year is the 30th. So I didn't, you know, just to get the facts straight. Get the facts straight. And what's happened for me over the years, I'm involved, still involved with the Orange County Convention, which just celebrated 27 years, and I'm still involved with the Long Beach Roundup, which is now in its 11th year, and so I'm kind of like a convention junkie. And I love to come to conventions and to hear people, and, you know, from one day to 41 years. It's pretty amazing. You know, first it was GL, and then it was LG, and now it's GLBTQ. And what that means is if you say that you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, you're in. Don't let anyone ever tell you that you can't be an Alcoholics Anonymous, especially me, because I did that for many, many years. And I'll end with my favorite thing that I steal from a friend of mine, Miss Angie, and she says, I love you, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carrie. I'm an alcoholic. First, just like a big thank you to the entire, everybody that put this on and volunteered and the executive committee and all the committees below that. Todd, what a brilliant job, and your whole team. I came here last year. I've come here quite a few years, but last year I came and I wasn't gonna come on the last day because it was like I was all of the driving up and down from Long Beach and the paying for the parking, and I was being kind of a baby about it. And then on that Monday morning, I had like kind of a really devastating event happen, and I knew this was here, and I just drove right up here, and you guys were here, and people were loving on me, and it was amazing. And then. And I came up to the podium to speak, and I, like, dropped the F-bomb 17 times, and I got a lot of feedback about that. So I will not be doing that at the podium. And I wasn't going to come this year because... You know, one of the wonderful gifts of the program is I get to have a life and I get to go back to school. And I went back to school and I dumped a bunch of money on that. And I'm working an internship, so I don't really have an income. And I didn't want to be sponsored in because I have a lot of shame about stuff like that. So I wasn't going to come. But then, you know, like Mark and Digby are on the committee. And so I knew I wasn't getting out of it. And Mark's on the, you know... And they're on the committee again, so I won't be getting out of it next year because I'm Mark's little bee. But didn't cuss. I'm really grateful to be here. And again, like I feel completely rejuvenated and I've gotten so much love. I can't believe how many people love me. I'm honored that I got to suggest that my sponsees come, and both of them came for all of it almost, except one isn't here right now. And another thing that I love about it, and I just wanted to mention this, is, I don't know, there's something about coming to a convention where I feel like I have more freedom to interact with the newcomers and more freedom to interact with the old-timers, and I'm so intimidated about that in regular meetings that I go to regularly, because I have my clique, not a clique as like a popularity contest, but people that I know love me and I feel comfortable with, and I'm so intimidated by all stuff like that kind of stuff, and it's just an amazing experience to get to interact with the people that I see all the time but don't really get to spend time with, and there's something special about that, so thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Ariane. I would also like to thank Tracy for reading Spiritual Experience, and in advance, Tommy Q for reading A Vision for You. The AALA committee would like to thank everyone for attending our open AA meeting. Once again, let's thank Ariane for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. In closing, Tommy Q has been asked to read A Vision for You, and after a moment of silent meditation, lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
My name's Tommy, and I'm an addict, alcoholic. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.